Now it's on. Can't even see a green light, can I? I can see red, but I can't see green. We're in Judges, the second chapter. We left off of somewhere so long here. What does the second chapter start with? Do you remember? Look at it. Huh? What happened to the very beginning of the second chapter? You're going to have to speak up. I heard the angel part. And I feel it in the rest. What?
The angel reminded them what God had done for them.
You're right. The angel, the messenger from God, he told them what they have done for them, but it's kind of interesting in this part here. He said, he told them in the first verse, I led you up from Egypt. And he's speaking now, the angel speaking, he said, and he's talking about God. God said, he led you up from Egypt and brought you in a land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Okay, there's two things really there. He says, I'm the one that brought you up from the bondage of Egypt, okay? And that was an ordeal. That's great power. How long had they been in bondage anyway? Okay. And so, but the main part, he says, I will never break my covenant with you, okay? The covenant is, that's the agreement we have. And he tells them that I will never break down. But who's going to break the covenant? The children of Israel. That was the problem. That's the reason the angel is there. And he tells them in verse 2, he says, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. Did they do that? Yeah, they made a covenant with him. And he told him, he says, you shouldn't do that, and you should tear down the altars, okay? But you not have obeyed my voice. That was the big problem right there. He had gave them a commandment, or commandments, and they didn't follow through them. And he gave a number of them. And not only that, Moses had told them, God had told him, and Joshua had told him. Now, this is Joshua here talking about. And he says that these are commandments from God. And so, how did the children react to it when the angel spoke to them? Yeah. Let's see. Verse 4. So it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. And then they talked at where the place was. And then verse 6, it says, and when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. All right. So they recognized that they did not do what they were supposed to. And so in verse 7, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. Okay, you had Joshua come. Who was Joshua?
He was one of the
10
spies.
Okay. And
he also took Moses' place as the new leader.
he came right after Moses. And so you had Moses, you got Joshua. Now, after Joshua, you got the elders coming along. And it says the elders are the ones that we had talked about before. They were born either in the wilderness or they were when they first got there to the promised land. And so they outlived Joshua. And so they served the Lord under Joshua and also under the elders. And he talking about, says that the elder said, who has seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua dies. He's 110 years old. And then the elders are the ones that fall over after him. And then they buried him, Joshua. And that was in his promised land, in part of it, in Ephraim is where they put. Then you see, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Okay. After you got Joshua and you got the elders, you don't have anybody. And he says, what did the children do? Well, this is what God had told them they would do. He said, you're going to serve the gods there. And that's what he did. In verse 11, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Okay? And they, in verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they follow other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Okay, first of all, he says they served the Baals, and the Baals was the chief god of the Canaanites, but that was not the only thing. He says, now look, here you're serving Baal, but also, and they follow other gods from among the gods here of the people. They were commanded to serve who? Why serve him? Creator. He's the one true God. Are these gods? No. And this was his point for them. They were not. And he and said in the last part, and they provoked the Lord to anger. And in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Okay, I need to go on down. Oh, 2:4. Let's see. Page it. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Okay? This is the Lord. He said, now, he's still calling them what? And the Lord was hot against Israel. Who's Israel? That's his chosen people. And he says, so he delivered them, okay? So God delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them. And he sowed them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Okay. Now, what was the main thing they started out with? Didn't I not take you out of Egypt, out of bondage? And what? All that period of time, what happened to them? They go back into bondage. They're slaves again. The Lord had given them up because of why? Because you didn't serve me. You didn't do what I had told you to do. And so he said, you know, he delivered. You have to understand this. So he, God, delivered them into the hand of the plunderers, the enemies. God delivered his own people, Israel, to the hands of his enemies. Their enemies. The ones he told to drive out. And he says, not only that, they are under bondage to them. They did not only take them forcefully, but they took them as slaves now. You shall be our servants. What he's talking about. They couldn't do anything against it because they did not have God. Look all what they have lost. Yes. Okay, you bring up an interesting point. Where are all those gods that they are serving?
Same place
they always were. Jerry? Okay, but there's one thing that's wrong with that. They didn't know who God was, did they? How many generations does it take? Remember we said it only takes one generation. But you're in the second and third generation. So if they don't know of his works, then how do they know anything about God? They lost all their touch with God. They didn't have the one true God. They had all these idols, which is, like you talked about, Baal is one of them. Astoreth, their spellings on that is going to be different. And it's a plural sense, too. You got to take that into consideration. But as you go through that, there are going to be some discrepancy in some of the spelling of it. But he uses, there's more, the Baals, there's, each region had their own Baal. It's, you know, it could be after the city first, Baal. And this is the same way with that God. This is their regional God with it. And they serve, that's how you get all these other gods. Each region had their own God. And you got this, and they chose these idols over the true God because they did not know God. They didn't know anything about his works. Linda? Because no teaching. They did not. Remember, we talked about this. What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to tell their children about God. What all he done about this? And they didn't. They failed it. So that's the reason you got, it just takes one generation to lose God. And then here, you can, we're going to talk about one generation is going to be worse than their father, the one before it. Pat? This is one of the things we've been trying to teach here, is the similarity between what happened to them and what's happening to us today. It's very, very, very similar to it this way. And we normally would say that they just, you know, you leave the barn door open, the cows and calves and whatever, it's going to get out. You leave the door open, sin's going to come in. Pure and simple. That's what happens. And once it gets in there, you can't come back and shut the door. It's not going to happen. The people will get used to it. And this is what they want. That's what happened to Israel. Somebody opened the door for them. They took a hold of it. And they weren't going to let it go. This was their new life. And they weren't changing. And then he said, okay, when I took you out of bondage, you know, there was a difference in everything, so I'll bring these judges in. So we talked about that, but we'll talk about some more. These are not judges like we think in the courtroom. So that's not the judge we're talking about. These are military leaders and spiritual leaders. And that people would change. They turned. And then once those judges died, that judge died, they went right back to it. Right back to sin. And so now, look at our generation now. Compare. If you don't teach your children, what's going to happen? That door is open. And you're just letting them in, right and left. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this? All right. Well, we have talked, and you hear so much about God is love and all this thing is, but you get to verse 14. I want to emphasize this point. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. The Lord got angry with them. Can you imagine that? Now, how would you feel if you're the boss and you tell somebody to do this and they don't do it? Is that going to make you happy? Or is it going to make you angry? It's going to make you angry. If I have the authority now with that to do something about it, and this is what he does. He got angry, and it says, the Lord was hot against Israel. When you see that, you know that's anger. When you see that, he's talking about here, burn or hot is often associated with anger. You'll see that. We're going to see this a number of times when he sees it, gets anger. The enemies of Israel abused them, stole from them, and profit from them. And they let them. What happens when you leave that door open? He said, and so he delivered them into the hands. He delivered them personally. He's talking about, he did it. His power. He's got the strength and the power to do this. And he said, God sold them into the hands of the enemies all around. That's goes farther on out, as we'll see. So they could no longer stand before their enemies. They got to the point, that's the reason they got this way. In verse 15, wherever they went out, the hand or the power or the strength of the Lord was against them for calamity. As the Lord has said, and as the Lord has sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Now, this word distress, you know, it talks about, I don't know if it says here or not. Now, but it's like you're squeezed. You're squeezed in there. Nobody likes to be squeezed. Nobody does. And that's what has happened to them. They're being squeezed by the Lord and by the enemies. There is no relief for them. They could. All they had to do was get back to the Lord. Get back to the Lord and repent. And said, look, I've erred in sin against you. And that, but it takes a lot to do that. And I mean, God has done a lot to them to harm them in a way. That squeezed upon them has brought about pacts.
And then they went in and plundered all these places.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the last 50, 60 years, they have become very rich and taken everybody else's possessions. Now the Lord, inside of his covenant relationship, is saying, I'm deducting this from you. Now you did all this. People that should have been destroyed, that you were supposed to do, are coming back and they're despoiling you. They're taking
Very much so. And that's the reason, as we begin in the introduction, that you really need to read the old Bible, the Old Testament, excuse me, and you will see God in action. Now, what is he going to do on the day of judgment? Will he do that? You think he'll do that? Well, he did it to them. He tell them, he said, look, the Canaanites, it's not ripe yet for them. There's still a chance for them. Never took it. Never took it. And what did he tell them? You go in there and utterly destroy them. You think he's going to have any whims when he tells you that I don't know you? He's going to tell you that. I don't know who you are. You never served me. You never called me. You never obeyed me one little thing. One little thing. Didn't do it. I asked you to make, I made an agreement with you, with your fathers, and you followed through. And a lot of these people did not even think that they had an agreement with them. They didn't really know what the agreement was. They just don't know. Now, whose fault is that? Is it God's fault or is it man's fault?
Man's fault.
Okay, man's. Pax? But there's going to come a time. There is going to be a day of judgment when this world will end. And there's only two masters you could have served. You could have served him, or you can have served the devil. But you got to serve one of them. You can't serve both of them. You may think you can serve both of them, but you can't do it. And so, if you have been serving the devil, then you shall reap what you have sown. That's what he's telling. Anything else upon these first 15 verses here? All right, verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Okay. We're getting into it. We're getting into the judges. We'll have three of them come up here in the third chapter. In their distress, the Israelites repeatedly cried out, and God repeatedly raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. Okay. God chose the judges. Man did not. The Israelites didn't have a vote and say, we want this one to be the judge. No, God chose the judge. And while he was the judge, the reason why he did that is to deliver them out of the hand of those who plundered them. So we see here that they were men of leaders that could physically, lead them people. In verse 17 it says, excuse me, I thought I was going to sneeze. Verse 17. Yet they would not listen to their judges. Okay, now, he says they would not listen to their judges. So they not only men of war or can physically lead them, their spiritual leaders also, they says, because they must be telling them something or other, and they wouldn't even listen to the judges. Yet they would not listen to their judges, and they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked, and in obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. Does this sound familiar? Didn't we been talking all along about what happened to the people? That they wouldn't listen to the commandments? And what would you do? They bowed down. Here it says, they played the harlot with other gods, not just one, but gods, and bowed down to them, and they turned quickly. It didn't take them any time to get back into the world, to get back into darkness here. And they would not listen, would not obey the one true God. What all that he had done for them. Then it says in verse 18, I'll go on that. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge. All right. The Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. They were successful under the judges. That may be part of it right there. The prosperity of them. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. So you see here in verse 18 that God raised up the judges for the purpose of delivering his people out of the hand of their enemies. And they did it all the days of the judges. For that judge that way. For the Lord was moved. Listen to it. The Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who had oppressed them or squeezed them in and harassed them. Now, he can be hot with anger, and he can be moved to pity. That's your Lord. That's your God. This is the one you should be serving. The one that pays attention to you. Not an idol. An idol that cannot do anything. But one true God that can do, that can act and do something other. So we'll basically begin there come Wednesday evening. Thank you.